Second Timothy, the first chapter, verse 7, is where we will end up. The Word of God declares that Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ by the will of God, according to the promise of life which is in Christ Jesus, writes to Timothy, a beloved son. And he starts off by saying, grace, mercy, and peace from God the Father and Christ Jesus our Lord. He begins to declare that he thanks God, whom he serves with a pure conscience and as his forefathers did, and without ceasing, he remembers Timothy in his prayers night and day. And he's greatly desiring to see him, being mindful of his tears, that he might be filled with joy. He goes on to say in verse 5, when I call to remembrance the genuine faith that is in you, which dwelt first in your grandmother Lois, and in your mother Eunice, and I am persuaded it is in you also. Therefore, I remind you to stir up the gift of God, which is in you through the laying on of my hands. For God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power, love, and of a sound mind. Father, we thank you for the word of the living God. We thank you for its purpose and its intention. For the word of God is quickening. It makes to come alive because it is alive. It's powerful, sharper than any two-edged sword. Its purpose is to divide asunder soul from spirit and discern the intentions of our heart. Father, speak such a word to us today that it changes everything, that it causes us to be conformed to the image of your Son, Jesus, and that it transforms us by the renewing of our minds. We have no agenda but yours today, God. Do what you want to do. Have your way. Remove me out of the way if need be, but just get to your people what they need to have. And we'll give you all the praise, the glory, and honor for this in Jesus' name. Your great shout, amen. Turn to your neighbor, come on, smile if you can, if you're not too messed up from that worship we just had. And say, boldness matters. Come on, find somebody else before you sit down and declare, boldness matters. Boldness matters. It was Booker T. Washington who said, you cannot hold a man down without staying down with him. It is this understanding that we find ourselves, particularly in the body of Christ, facing a choice as to if we're going to have the gumption to walk through the doors that the Lord is opening for us today. And the reason why we have to determine this is because it's a choice. God can open all the doors you want, but unless you go through it, what's going to happen? And it is in this instance that we find ourselves in the book of 2 Timothy. And this is literally a blueprint and a word of wisdom and counsel to a protege of one of the great first century leaders in the name of Paul. And Paul is writing this letter to Timothy because he's already giving him all of the practical tools that he needs to walk into the door to go and fulfill what God has called him to do. But Timothy is now dealing with something that we all deal with, and that is the fear of walking through that door. It's not the fear of failing, because Timothy has failed before. It's not the fear of not belonging. It's not the fear, my God, of any demonic attack, but rather the fear that comes from within, the intimidating process that makes you think that you're not good enough, that this is too good to be true, and that if you do go through this door, then it's not going to last, because simply things like this doesn't happen to you. There is a moment in God where you have to realize that if he's able to do exceedingly and abundantly above all you ask or think, and then he has the audacity to do it, and to bring you to the place where many said you would never be, and more in particular, where you've told yourself that I'm going to chill out right here, because you take that opportunity to masquerade your fear by calling it being conservative in your choices and your decisions. And so you have allowed yourself to buy into the lie of not only the adversary, but also of yourself. And so you have to come to the place where you have determined within you that in life, you will not run from the things that are difficult when it comes to realizing who you are and what you have to deal with on the inside of yourself, but that you are determined to now face everything and rise. If you had that sort of audaciousness, if you had that capability to look yourself in the mirror and determine that you will no longer be a procrastinator, you will no longer be an impatient individual, you will no longer be angry, and you will deal with that anger and whatever it takes and whatever God has to bring you through for you to be a person of peace, you'll do it. If you can look yourself in the mirror and not forget what manner of person that you saw, and be grateful and thankful enough to realize that you are no longer what you used to be, but there are still some things inside there that if you don't deal with them, they're not only simply going to cause you to fall flat on your face, they're going to cause you to fall flat off the globe. In other words, they're going to make you completely irrelevant in life. And these are the challenges that the body of Christ is faced with today, because the spiritual forces that we work against have become extremely sophisticated. And the reason they are sophisticated is because they've become patient. And the reason they are patient is because they realize, my God, how humans act. In other words, they say, if we're patient enough, we don't have to tempt them with it anymore. They'll just pick it up themselves. I'm preaching better than y'all shouting. In other words, I don't have to tempt you with fear. You'll pick it up yourself. Because we have so much information to let us know that we don't even have a spirit that can fear. Come on here, somebody. That now we're dealing with a sophisticated enemy that allows you, watch God, to go through life. And as you go through it, won't even bother you, because you'll just pick the apple for yourself. I wish I had somebody. Or the fruit for yourself. You'll do the opposite of what God said does, because in order for the word of God to come to pass in your life, it's going to take time. And time is not something that you and I like to deal with. And as you and I don't like to deal with time, we become impatient. And when we become impatient, we open the door to the attributes of fear. And as we open that door, we become afraid and we become anxious. I'm not talking about the healthy fear that allows you to get out of the middle of the road when a car is coming, or to run when you see a dog loose. That's healthy fear. Look at your name and say, that's common sense, boo. this morning I was, you know, as I was going through everything this morning, it was on, it's, I guess, Good Morning America or Today Show, whatever it was, and some guy was sitting there talking to a zoologist, and they had two baby tigers sitting there, and obviously the tigers are sedated, and they're babies, and they're playful, and they're happy, and, you know, and then they showed the mama tiger. Y'all ain't said nothing. She wasn't playful nor happy. And the guy, the news commentator that was playing with the younger cubs was not playing with the mama because y'all ain't said nothing, because on the inside he knew she ain't nothing to play with. I'm not talking about the healthy fear that causes you how to teach you and shows you how to get out of harm's way almost through osmosis, and you do it instinctively. That was God-given. But I'm talking about the fear that enters into your mind that creates, watch me now, this feeling of high anxiety and then causes oppression so that then you become depressed. This is the fear that we have to deal with, because this is what Paul is dealing with Timothy. Timothy is now having an opportunity to walk into a door that God has opened up for him. And as he opens this door, he's really commissioning Timothy to go and take it to the next level. Paul is in prison as he is writing this letter to Timothy. And he's letting him know that, son, now it's your time. He's letting him know, I fought my fight. You know, I finished the race. Now it's your turn to go. And as I look across the globe, and as I look across all organizations, whether in business, politics, or the church, I see this this nature of the gap or the chasm between generations, of those that have blazed a trail, and then the huge gap in between those that are coming now. In other words, there's really been nobody who is pulling up others to follow suit. And now you're finding this starvation, if you will, in business and in politics, and certainly within the church. If you look at the political arena and you look at the choice of candidates, you have to ask yourself, is this the best we got in the United States of America? I wish I had somebody in here. And as you look at all of that, you can see prophetically where the gaps are. Where are the next leaders? Where are the future of our country? Where is the next Barack Obama going to come from? Or where's the next, I would say Ben Carson, but I'm going to get off of that. Where is the next great doctors and surgeons going to come from, and where are the next business leaders going to come from, and where are the next great faith leaders going to come from? And Paul is dealing with this with Timothy, and he's telling Timothy, don't miss this opportunity that is in front of you. I'm being very prophetic right now, even though I'm moving slowly, and the only reason I'm moving slowly is not because I'm not prepared, it's because I want you to get what it is that I'm saying. In other words, I'm trying to preach to you prophetically to let you know that there's a great door of opportunity open to the body of Christ right now. And particularly, if I can be speak pastorally for a moment, to this church in particular. God is opening and doing something amongst us that is very unique and special. And he's not just doing it at the head level. This thing is flowing all the way down. It is whole. It is complete. It is for everybody that has anything to do with this house. And so you have to understand, if that be the case, what door are you going to have the gumption to walk through? Because I can tell you prophetically, they are open. Look at your neighbor and say, they are open. They are open. They are open. Come on, we're going to get somewhere with this thing. They are open. And because the doors are open now, you have choices that you have to make and that you have to go through. Paul is trying to show Timothy this same thing, and he's exhorting him for him to understand what he already has. That's my first point. I need you to understand that you already have something. That's why God opened the door for you. He would not open the door for you if you were not ready to go through the door. Come on, somebody, get with me in the room. Look at your neighbor and say, you're ready to go through the door. Come on here. You have every tool that is necessary for you to be able to walk in these tremendous opportunities that are in front of you. And if you can't see the opportunities that are in front of you, it is simply because you have been blinded by your own timidity. You have been blinded by your own fear. You have put things in your mind that are not real, and you have imagined a vain thing. You've called yourself to be so anxious instead of relying on the fact that God said, be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your request to God. And then the peace of God that transcends all understanding guards your heart and mind in Christ Jesus. How do I face everything? How do I look at the fear that's on the inside of me and have a real honest conversation with myself about how I feel about a thing and how I am afraid of the fact that I might not make it and I might not be able to do all the things that God is calling me to do? How do I face it? You face it by realizing God has already put the stuff on the inside of you that you're going to need to make it. Look at your neighbor and say, I already have the stuff. You don't have to figure out how to get the stuff. Baby, you got the stuff. The stuff came with the package. The package is called Jesus Christ. When you receive Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, you got it all. You got all of the power that was on the inside of him now being resident on the inside of you. Not only did you get all the power, watch me now, you did not get the responsibility of the weight of that power. In other words, he didn't put all of the responsibility on your shoulders. He put it on Christ's shoulders. This is why Christ became the sin of the whole world, and he was able to bear your griefs and your sorrows, past, present, and future, so that whenever you mess up, and you will, you realize, baby, he died, but yet he rose for me. And because I am saved doesn't mean I'm not going to make mistakes and have to have the ability to say, I messed that up, but I'm going to pick myself up and continue to walk in my faith no matter what. Here's why the enemy is winning in the body of Christ. It's because when we mess up, we think all is lost. The devil is a liar. The Bible says a righteous man can fall, I wish I had somebody, 7 times and get back up again. Jesus said 70 times 7. How many times is it going to take for you to rise up even though you have fallen? As many times as necessary until you figure out how to get it right. Slap your neighbor a high five and say, I think I'm about to get it right. Because some stuff I just got to learn how to walk away from. Some stuff, I wish I had somebody in here. I know y'all want me to preach, but I got to slow down. Some stuff I just got to grow out of. Nothing deep. I just got to grow out of it. I'm about to step on some toes. I know I'm coming down your street and your street and your street and your street. I have to stop lying to myself. If I'm ever to realize that God gave me the stuff, what stuff? The spirit that I need to make it. And if he gave me the spirit that I need to make it and regenerated my spirit and made me born again and again and again and again and again, and that I'm on this progress of my walk with God, somewhere along the line I have to realize I have to stop lying to myself. And when I see the indicators of me going back into my old mind, old habits, and fears that paralyzes me over time, that will cause me not to walk into a door that I know God has opened for me, and make every excuse available as to why I'm not going through that door. And it makes sense because you're intelligent enough to articulate as to why you don't trust God. I wish I had somebody in here. But now, if I can somehow realize those indicators and have an honest conversation with myself, I'll learn how to just grow up and grow out of some things. Some stuff ain't that deep. Touch your neighbor and say, it ain't that deep. Call a dude on the phone and say, this ain't going nowhere. Click. I wish I had somebody. Look at your neighbor and say, it ain't that deep. I wish I had some help in here and y'all ain't helping me out. Because you're allowing fools to cause you to miss your fortune. You're allowing individuals, I wish I had somebody, to hinder your life. Slap your neighbor and say, it ain't that deep. It ain't that deep. I gotta wake up and realize y'all ain't going nowhere. I holla. Peace. Love you. Call me snooty. Call me uppity. But call me blessed, because I'm not. I can't get help here from anybody, because I'm not gonna flock with you and cause you to cause me to miss my fortune. I'm keeping it real. Real broke. Real dumb. If I can invest in a dummy index, boy, I'd be rich. I wish I had help from somebody in here. Look at your name and say, it's not that deep. It's not that deep. And the enemy has figured it out. The enemy used to attack you with all sorts of temptations. But now, because of the information age, we just pick it up. You will consult Google more than you consult God. I'm coming down your street and your street and your street and your street. Y'all ain't gonna shout, but you know I'm talking the truth. So before you even asked God, you went to Google to find out, well, how many people did it? And what happened where? And where the money? I wish I had somebody, and you know I'm talking right. But you didn't go to God and say, Father, order my steps. Bye. It's quiet. That's a good indicator that I'm preaching good. You don't went on Google and, you know, 10 steps to the mate of your life. Wisdom is the principal thing. Not information. I said, drop the mic and walk off the stage. Don't look for information. Look for wisdom. That's the principal thing. And then in all you're getting, get an understanding. Yes, I got some information, but it ain't the word of God. And if it ain't the word of God, I can't trust it. No organ yet. These are all gut shots right here. I don't want no emotion behind it. No organ blaring. I want to be right in your face. Because you got to face the fact that you're lying to yourself. How have we gotten to such a place that we want God now to bless the mess that's in our lives? I'm praying for my boo. I'm praying. He ain't saved. You ain't. I'm coming down your lane. I'm not judging. I'm simply saying to you, that can't work. And then you're frustrating yourself asking God to bless something that he says, I can't. Now, I done gave you the stuff. I done gave you all the tools. But you can't have that and get this. At some point, you got to let something go and trust what I have for you is better than that. Who am I preaching to in here. Look at your name and say, let it go, because God got something absolutely better for your life. Let him go. Let her go. God got something better. I'm preaching to somebody in here. I'm coming down your street. Let it go. God got something better. And the enemy will trick you to try to keep something that God has been trying to direct you away from. And you're getting frustrated because doors are closing, but you don't have enough sense to say, well, where's the open door? Because for every door closed, I wish I had somebody. God has a door open that no man can shut. You got to find that door. I was preaching in here on Wednesday talking about the same concept, and I was talking about I would have never saw what the Lord was doing as I had to trust him to walk through the door of partnering with this charter school. But when I did it, it put me in the adjacent possible. In other words, it put me adjacent to all of the other possibilities that could come. Because I walked through one door, I then looked around and said, oh, there's another one. And as I walked through that door, I said, oh, shoot, that leads somewhere else. I started having fun with the thing. Y'all ain't said nothing. Now I'm speaking naturally to educators, and I wish I had somebody in here of a door I never thought was possible. Slap your name and say, when you gonna face it? When you gonna face it? When you gonna face it? Not the devil, you. You. Face to face in all of its glory. This is me. I'm prone to anxiety. I'm prone. Oh God, I'm preaching. I choose disappointments. I'm dealing all of your stuff this morning. You're choosing your disappointments by continually doing the same thing that ain't worked the first time. And want to call it God. God will never do anything against his word. This is why he exalts his word above his name. Woo. When you begin to face everything, you'll begin to realize what the real issues are. Paul is dealing with this with Timothy. And so he has to remind him of what he got when hands was laid on him. He had to put him in remembrance that this is a spiritual inheritance, son. Your mother had it. Your grandmother had it. And you got to stir up the gift that lies on the inside of you. Timothy was timid about the fact that he was about to become a pastor and God was calling him into this work. And I understand Timothy's timidity, because Timothy didn't want to suffer the prison. He didn't want to suffer the perils that Paul had to go through. Sometimes when you're faced with the things that you're called to do, you have to realize there's a cost involved. And as the cost, my God, becomes higher and higher, you say to yourself, no, thank you. But on the other side of it, you have to realize the reward that comes along with it is going to be greater than any of the costs. And so at the end of the day, the way you face something is that you got to take a risk. But this risk is calculated. If you risk nothing, you get nothing. And I love black people, but black people hate risk. Y'all ain't said nothing. We want a sure thing. Y'all, I wish I had somebody in here to help me out. We want a sure thing. But if you're ever going to have great gains, you got to risk something to get great gains. Look at your name and say, you got to take a risk. Come on here. Now, if I had to take a risk and if I was a betting man, I would put all of my chips in something that was concrete, meaning it had to have information for me that it was giving out a return for a very long time. The dividends that it was paying was not just a one-time incident, but it had a record, a history of paying dividends. I don't know anybody else on the face of the planet, no company, no organization that pays out more dividends than the God that I serve. He is batting 1,000. So if I had to risk something, I would risk it all on the word of God. And the reason I would risk it on the word of God is because his word cannot fail. When you begin to face everything, you have to take a risk. And as you take the risk, watch me now, as you take the risk, the pressure heightens. Because the moment you decide to confront you, stay with me, is the moment the spirit of fear tries to come. The moment, I wish I had somebody, I'm dealing with something. The moment you decide you're going to look yourself in the mirror and not forget which manner of person you saw and realize there's some issues that are on the inside of your heart that continues to allow you to make the same dumb choices. Because let's face it, they're dumb. Y'all quiet, but it's the truth. And as you find yourself in that place, that's when the spirit of fear tries to come. The spirit of fear is a crafty beast. It's a crafty concept because it deals in the realm of oppression. And when you begin to deal in the realm of oppression, if you give me 5 or 10 minutes, I promise I'll get you set free. Because when you deal in the realm of oppression, oppression brings irresponsibility. I'm preaching way better than y'all, Sean. When people are oppressed in any generation, they develop a spirit of irresponsibility and they develop a hatred for work. In other words, it makes you absolutely lazy. It makes you not want to do anything, not fight for nothing. You're not fighting and you're not moving backward. You're just sitting still. I wish I had somebody. You're not standing still to see the salvation of the Lord. That's different. But you're apathetic. You're lethargic. You're just there. You just show up for church. You just show up for work. You just show up with your kids. You just show up with your spouse. You're just there. That means you're irresponsible. You're not taking it to heart that you have a place and a part and a role to play in the process of your own deliverance. You just sit back and take it all. The devil is a liar. God did not design you to have to take it all. At some point you have to stand, and having done all to stand, I wish I had a church in here. At some point you have to say enough is enough. Enough is enough. At some point you have to look at yourself and say, I will not eat another liter of ice cream because of how I feel. I know I came all down your street. I will not max out my credit card because of how I feel. I will not go down to the bar because of how I feel. I will not call this person because of how I feel. The devil is a liar. I don't need that for comfort. God will comfort me. I need a regenerative spirit on the inside of me that will rise up and say, greater is he that is in me than he that is in the... Slap your name and say, rise up, rise up, rise up. When I decide to rise up, I decide I got the stuff. That means my heritage is secure. This is why Paul told Timothy, you already got the stuff. It was in your mama and it was in your grandmother. Your heritage is secure. God is not about to take his grace from you. God is not about to take his mercy from you. Some of y'all gonna miss this thing and you're gonna stay in that oppression and depression. But the devil is a liar. I came to set somebody free today. I don't care if I gotta sit here another 10 minutes to do it. Look at your name and say, I want to be set free. Yes, I do. See how it is? We go pick it up. You ain't got time for this message. Got something to do. Got somewhere to be. And then you'll spend weeks, months, secretly oppressed. So much so that you're irresponsible that you cannot hear the sound of the genuine. that when God shows up with an opportunity, you cannot even hear it, because faith comes by hearing, not seeing. I wish I had somebody here. So when God gives a word and says, listen, March was something prophetic, but now you ought to be in expectation for exceedingly abundantly for the rest of the year, that went right over your head. I'm preaching, but y'all shouted. Nothing woke up in your spirit when I said that. Listen to me. So when the spirit of oppression comes, what it does, it makes your spirit go quiet. So that whatever you hear, it's, watch me now, static. It's all the same to you. So the preaching is the same. The praise is the same. You don't even recognize the anointings when it shift and when it move. When Crystal got up here and started singing the word, woo! Yokes could have been destroyed. Strongholds, I wish it could have been broken. But it's the same to you. I'm teaching real good right now. It's a real deal. The spirit of oppression. And you come and you're just as numb as you want to be. Because you've been there before. I've worshiped before. I done shouted. I done danced. I done praised. But there is a praise that causes some things to break off your life. There is a shout that comes from the depth of your soul to say, today is my last day of being in fear and being oppressed. There is a shout that'll shake the heavens and let the devil know that your spirit is alive and well, and the greater one lives on the inside of you. Slap your name and say, baby, I got a praise that's been locked up for a long time, and I just about got to get it out right now. Let me get you out of here. Let me get you out of here. Oh, there's an anointing. You see? There's an anointing. There's a ship. There's a wave right there. Right there. Oh, God, I feel it. God, I feel in the nose. Some just broke off of somebody. I don't know who it's for. Slap your name and say, there is a praise that breaks every stronghold, every yoke, every demonic tie, everything that binds you. There is a praise that lets the devil know I'm fearfully and wonderfully made. There is a praise that reaches down into the depths of your spirit. Oh, God, there is a praise that cries out hallelujah. There is a praise that when you think of the goodness of Jesus and all that he has done for you, God, I feel an anointing. There is a praise. Slap your neighbor high five and say, there is a praise, baby. I'm a stop right there. I felt that anointing. Boldness matters. I haven't even gotten into it, but I'm going to give you this real quick because I sense the Lord. And then we're going to praise God for a little bit and something's going to break off of your life. Watch me. Boldness matters. This is why Paul said, come boldly before the throne of grace. How do you deal with the spirit of oppression? Holy boldness. The word boldness is a Greek concept and it means to speak your mind. Can I give it to you? Please, would you let me give it to you? Don't worry, I'll get you back to where we just was. It literally means the freedom to say anything. It's the freedom to say anything. And the Greek mindset, listen to me carefully,
The Greek mindset was for them to put that into a political concept. But when Paul comes along and begins to talk about holy boldness, hallelujah, he gives a little nuance of the word. He puts the spirit behind the freedom to speak anything. And so he changes the word from parrhesia, P-A-R-R-H-E-S-I-A, to parrhesia, out of. So instead of just speaking whatever is on my mind, I speak out of my spirit. So holy boldness has nothing to do with what's going on up here. It has everything to do with what's going on inside. So holy boldness means I can say by the Spirit, I struggle with this and that, but it ain't going to break me. It ain't going. Holy boldness allows you not to no longer be afraid of what people think about you when you have the audacity to say, I ain't there yet, but I'm pressing toward the mark of the prize of the high calling. Slap your name and say, I got holy boldness, baby. I got holy boldness. So my spiritual heritage is secure because it produced in me a holy boldness. It gives me the ability to have a rigorous candor where I am not on the surface of my spirituality, but I'm deep in that thing. I wish I had somebody. I'm exploring the depths, the breadth, the width, and the height of the love of God. I can't stay here because he loved me too much. And so I can't be irresponsible with that love. If he died for me, surely I can fight for myself. I'm preaching better than somebody is shouting. Was that good? Look at your name and say, I got holy boldness. So Paul told Timothy, I need you to stir up the gift, son. Huh? You stir up the gift that lies on the inside of you. Paul didn't tell Timothy, I'm writing you to stir up the gift. He said, Timothy, you got to stir it up. I laid hands on you a long time ago and anointed you for this. Slap your name and say, you're anointed for this. You got the stuff, boo. You got the goods. You got everything you need to walk through that door, despite the fact you might be struggling with some things. Don't let the devil throw that in your face. The devil is a liar. How do you deal with it? Holy boldness. You praise God anyhow. You bless the name of the Lord at all times, yet praise the Lord. You lift up your hands and give him thanks and honor and glory for the things he has done. You begin to praise him for the thing he is about to do. You honor him for keeping you in the present moment. You send a praise down the road into your future to let the devil know nothing is going to take your exuberance and your praise for the things of God. Not life, not death, not devils, not angels. Nothing shall separate you from the love of God. Slap your name and say, I got a holy boldness and I got a hallelujah to go along with it. And if you got a hallelujah to go along with it, throw your head back and shout, huh? Somebody shout hallelujah. It's the highest praise. And when you shout hallelujah, every devil and demonic force in hell is going to back up off of you. Shout hallelujah right now. Woo! There's a praise. My God, that'll let all the principalities and powers know that the greater one lives on the inside of you. You sitting next to somebody. We're going home. We're leaving. But you might be sitting next to somebody who are not at your spiritual level and who does not express your capability of praising God. Because the spirit of oppression, this is how the spirit of fear is birthed. Oppression has to lead to irresponsibility. irresponsibility has to lead to laziness. A do-nothing attitude. That's how the spirit of fear is birthed. It leaves you powerless, as if you cannot change anything. But there is a praise. Oh, hallelujah. That just blessed me, man. That just blessed me. There is a praise. If you're sitting next to somebody, I want you to grab their hand, even if they're sitting down. One of the greatest ways to break the spirit of oppression is through corporate praise. I'll explain. This is why Paul said, your mother had it. Your grandmother had it. You got it. He was trying to tap into that corporate anointing. And if I had time, I would show you. I've only preached a very sliver of this message. I would show you where he then would lead Timothy into not being ashamed of the process and the pain that you have to endure and go through to become powerful. It's the pain that makes you powerful. Yeah. It's the pain that makes you powerful. Because when you go through the pain, you realize, shoot, I made it. Now, no doubt about it. It downright sucked when you went through it. But you made it through it. So when the enemy tries to put that pain on you again, come on here, somebody. You're like, you're going to have to come harder than that, bruh. When the children of Israel, this is a Sunday school story, when the children of Israel walked into the promised land, the angel of the Lord had to come down to do what I'm about to do right now. And he came down and he told them, you haven't been this way before. You haven't had to walk through this door. You have no military. You have no generals. I'm going to give you a miracle to get you even over into the promise. But once they got in over the promise, he had to show up. And when he showed up, it was the captain of the Lord of hosts. And Joshua said, whose side are you on? He says, it's not that simple. And then he gave him an instruction. And the instruction was, when you come across your first obstacle in this new door, please hear me prophetically. Don't think that you're not equipped, qualified, and able to deal with it. Your spiritual heritage alone will tear up anything in your way. Now, saints of God, that's a word. Come on. Don't let me keep casting these pearls. Come on, man. Grab that thing. Your spiritual heritage alone. What is he telling them? He says, you don't need to be like any other military. Your spiritual heritage alone. You got something they ain't got. The ability to praise me, and then I come down and show up. What? God said, here's the secret sauce. Here's the secret sauce. I inhabit the praises of my people. So no matter how oppressed or depressed you are, the moment you start praising, God says, I got to come down and find out what's going on. And then he sits on the situation. I'm grateful now. Here's Hey, you want to talk about face everything in Ross? I'm facing everything right now. I'm tired in my body. I'm tired in my mind. And I was praying, getting here, saying, God, if I can just make it to church, the preacher. And if you could just show up for me this morning, I would so appreciate it. Because I ain't got no preach nowhere near in me today. Don't feel like preaching, don't want to preach, and certainly don't want to look at your face. But God never disappoints. He never disappoints. And they started praising God. And he came in the room, I said, oh, that's it. All I needed was a little drop. Ooh, thank you. That's all I needed. That's all I needed. Just a little. I need no lather. I need no baptism. I just needed just a drop of his presence. And immediately my spirit goes, let's go, baby. So your praise is about to give somebody a drop of what they need. When they walked into Jericho, we all know the story. They praised the Lord. They did it for a certain amount of time. We don't have 7 days. We got 7 seconds to give God praise. And as you do, you're going to give somebody the drop of what they need in their spirit. So this is not just for you. This is for the person that is next to you because they need it. When we face everything, we can no longer hide in church. We have to come to the house of God realizing the whole need not a physician. The reason that you're here is because something broken, you need fixing. I wish I had somebody in here. So ain't no need to come up in here acting like ain't nothing broke. You got battles going on in your mind. You got stuff going on in your spirit. You got stuff going on in your house. You got stuff happening on a job. Who am I talking to in here? This praise is about to rectify some stuff in your life. On the count of three, for 7 seconds, I want you to give God the best shout of praise. And we're going to break the spirit of oppression that produces the spirit of fear. Hallelujah. Off of your life. On three, you shout hallelujah. You give God the highest praise. Do it for the person that is next to you. Amen. And let's see this thing break. 1, 2, 3. Shout. There's the sound of victory. There's the sound of joy. There's the sound of peace. There's the sound. Glory to God. Slap your neighbor high five and say, I got my shot, baby. I got my shot. My spirit is alive. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Come on, y'all. Lift your hands and receive the best. You can praise him on your way home. You can praise him on your way home. May God bless you and keep you. May his face shine upon you. May God be gracious unto you and give you peace. May he surround you with his favor as with a shield. May his angels encamp themselves round about you and his blood cover you from now until eternity. In Jesus' name, somebody shout hallelujah. God bless you. We love you. We'll see you Wednesday night.